This weekend, several of us attended the annual convention of the Diocese of New Jersey, where we met with 500 of our closest friends. At convention, we do the business of the diocese, but for many of us, that's not why we go. Convention is a big annual family reunion, and so we enjoy going to see old friends and to make new ones. I love going to conventions. One of the people I ran into this year, one of the first people I saw, was St. Thomas' very own postulant for holy orders, Ken Carpinelli. Right, yay. So Ken is presently serving at St. Peter's in Medford as part of his formation for the diaconate. When I followed that same path of formation, serving as a season in a parish apart from the one that had sponsored me for ordination, we called it field education. My field ed was at a lovely parish full of warm, loving, dedicated Christians. And the fact that they also had a Spanish-speaking congregation there was just icing on the cake. I loved participating with both congregations. But my field ed parish, like all churches, had its issues. The worship space was beautiful, but money was tight and things kept breaking. The choir was small and the organ required lots of maintenance. Leadership of the parish rotated around a small, dedicated core because there was no one else to do it. All in all, I encountered a sense there of frustration and resignation. The thing that made me most sad at my field ed parish was the lack of any children's programming. They said they wanted to grow, and they did their best to welcome the young families who would float into the door on many weeks. But most families would just visit once or twice before moving on. There were no offerings to communicate that their children were welcome there, that we took children's formation seriously, that we had the dedication to help these young families to raise their children in the love and knowledge of Christ. And so families would visit, and then they would move on to look for another church that showed its concern for their children in more tangible ways. So my field ed parish reported one thing, that they wanted to attract young families and to grow larger. But they lived out something different, that there was no energy to do that work that would be a basic foundation to their growth. They were tired. They found other things to do and other things to argue about, and nothing changed. They were stuck. Now, in today's reading, Jesus encounters another religious institution that is stuck. The holidays are here. Lots of pilgrims have come to the temple in Jerusalem to offer the prescribed sacrifices, and there are vendors who have come to provide for the needs of those pilgrims. Now, those vendors didn't appear out of nowhere simply to fleece the faithful. There was, in fact, a need to provide sacrificial animals and approved coinage for all these pilgrims who had come from far away. But as the shopkeepers plied their trade, the tension between serving the pilgrims and preserving the sanctity of the temple was lost. Purpose was traded for convenience, and it was easier just to let that happen than to push back. And so tables for commerce were set up in the very precincts of the temple. Now, Jesus is among the pilgrims in town for the holidays, and Jesus doesn't appreciate the services these vendors are offering. Those tables trespass on the prayers of the people. So Jesus makes a whip and drives out the animals being offered for sale. He overturns the tables of the money changers and scatters their coins on the floor. Jesus admonishes those who would do business there that the temple is a place for prayer, not for buying and selling and haggling. So imagine this scene. If it was noisy and busy before, What was it like when there was money scattered on the floor and people scrambling after to pick it up? There are animals running every which way, leaving feathers and dung behind. And Jesus is knocking over tables and brandishing a whip. This is not the gentle Jesus of modern Western cultural Christianity. This is not the Jesus with the blue eyes and the flowing locks looking off into space. This is not a tame, demure house guest. Jesus is a rowdy guest who spoke his mind and acted on it. Jesus did not fear offending people and making demands on those who would protect the status quo. Jesus shook things up. Jesus was determined to make a mess, if that's what it took to bring some change to the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus does not want to leave the temple and its people stuck in the place that they have been. The temple has a bigger purpose than making profits and servicing ritual needs, and so those tables have got to go. The temple is meant to be the place where people encounter God. Now, the danger of reading gospel texts is that they're never just about some other place or some other time. We read the gospel not primarily to learn about history, what happened in some other building way over on the other side of the world a long time ago. Instead, we read about what Jesus did then, so that we can learn to recognize what Jesus is doing now. That's right. So as I've gotten to visit with several of you during the meet and greets that Eric Cephas has been setting up, one of the most prominent themes I have heard from you has been the desire to see St. Thomas grow. This was clearly stated in the parish profile. This was communicated to me by the committees that I met with before I was called to be your rector. St. Thomas wants to share God's love with more people. And we are particularly attracted to the energy that comes from young families. That's great. But what is it that is standing in the way? Like those tables, those vendors in the temple courts. When new people walk into St. Thomas, do they immediately walk into a house of prayer, or do they have to navigate through a maze of metaphorical tables first? What do they see when they look at our grounds? What do they find inside our buildings? I know that many of you, from Linda to Carlene to Debbie to Joe to the Tuesday night work crew, put a lot of effort on a continuing basis into making our campus a beautiful place to be. So how can the rest of us continue to encourage and support and assist them in this work, in their efforts to push a few tables, both metaphorical and literal, out of the way? When new people come to visit us on a Sunday morning, do they immediately find a pew, not the front one, that is big enough to seat their entire family? Do they see that there is plenty of space for them to join us? Or do they immediately see a church which has no space for them and by which makes them feel embarrassed at the commotion of trying to find them a place to sit? It's a big deal. It makes a difference. It's one of those things that helps people on that tipping point. Do I belong here or not? When people visit our church for the first several times, do we reach out and help them navigate all those books that we use in our worship? Our books and our practice of worship can be difficult for people to navigate the first time, unless we are very intentional and proactive about helping them out and maybe handing books back and forth. Oh, here we are. Let me take that one. When people visit our worship services, do we escort them personally all the way around the block to where coffee hour is? There's a statistic that floats around saying that in order for someone to feel like they belong in a place and to really want to come back the next week, they need to connect, actually connect, with seven people. There have to be seven people who know their name and that they know if they show up again, we'll be glad to see them. And if we're going to help connect people to meet seven others, that means you and I each have to help them make those connections. Find out who they are and say, oh, you know what? I know someone that shares that interest with you. Let me introduce you. These are the things that we do to help people make connections in our parish and to help our church grow. Already, many of you have discussed with me yet other ideas to help make St. Thomas more attractive and more welcoming than it is today to those who might walk in our doors. Conversations have begun about finding a choir director, or starting a Spanish service, or using our property to have community gardens that feed hungry people, or having various activities to serve the students from Rowan, that mission field that is right on our doorstep. I invite these conversations. Let's talk, and let's do. St. Thomas is a parish that is pregnant to the point of bursting with possibilities, potential, and Holy Spirit power. Jesus is knocking at the door of our church. Jesus' knock is not an invitation to safety or to nostalgia. Jesus knows which tables need to be kicked over at St. Thomas in order to free us up so that we can become that which God and God's eternal joy dreams for us to become. Jesus is not content to leave us stuck in the past. The past is God's testimony to us, God's sure promise of even greater things ahead. How is God calling you to help carry St. Thomas into God's preferred future?